okay? Yeah. Yeah. Oh my God.
Power. I give it to him.
The glory.
I give it to him.
Forever.
I give it to him.
In ever.
I give it to him.
The power.
I give it to him.
The glory.
I give it to him.
Forever.
I give it to him.
In ever.
I give it to him.
Hey, everybody. Welcome. This is The Bold and the Beautiful. We are here right now. We are getting ready to start our broadcast, and I'm Curtis Austin, and we are now on When Christians Speak Talk Radio. We air every second Saturday of the month at 10 a.m. Won't you just tune in? Welcome to When Christians Talk Radio, Bold and the Beautiful.
If it wasn't for God, I'd be weak. Ay. I wouldn't wake up from my sleep. Ay. I wouldn't have nothing to eat. Ay. I wouldn't be so unique. Ay. If it wasn't for God, I would lose it. Yep. I wouldn't live under a roof, and yep. I wouldn't be up in this booth, and yep. I wouldn't know He is the truth. And if it wasn't for God, I would have been bold. The enemy would have taken my soul. But now I rise up and I surprise them like the day that He rose. If it wasn't for God, I wouldn't be up in these foreign cars on the way to my shows. If it wasn't for God, I wouldn't have nada. I wouldn't be cold. If it wasn't for God, I wouldn't have clothes. No shoes to cover my toes. No hat to cover my head. If it wasn't for God, I would have been. If it wasn't for God, I wouldn't be counted out. My family down and out. I'm blessed, so without a doubt. Hey. Gotta make sure I shout it out. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Bold and Beautiful is a talk show designed to bring the Word of God to youth and young adults around the world and embolden them to live out loud for Jesus. Our vision is to see young people of the world rising up to take their rightful place as leaders and world changers.
I'm a young girl spitting that gospel. Last time I saw the God, He said, I got you.
Yeah, yeah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
And they try to act like they never knew you. But the devil can't do nothing to you. Cause the
power.
I give it to Him. The glory.
I give it to Him.
Forever.
I give it to Him.
In ever.
I give it to Him.
The power.
I give it to Him.
The glory.
I give it to Him.
Forever.
I give it to Him.
In ever.
I give it to Him.
Hey, y'all. Here we are again for another Bold and Beautiful show with When Christians Speak Talk Radio. This is actually our first Zoom version of our show, of our podcast, so we'll be able to drop both the audio and the visuals. Hello. So now we say hey to the co-host. So, of course, I am one of your co-hosts, Jordana Cunningham, minister. And then, of course, say hey, Reverend Novena.
Hey.
And Reverend Curtis.
Hey.
Here we go. See, so now you got the visuals with the air horn and all that. So we are excited. Of course, it's just an interesting time that we find ourselves in. And so we are trying something new. So we hope that it works well. And so if we have any glitches or anything, please bear with us because this is our first time. But Novena, would you open us up in prayer?
Oh, certainly, certainly. Father, we just come to you right now in Jesus' name, just thanking you, Lord God, for this day. We thank you, Lord God, for how you promised to never leave us nor forsake us, Lord God, and how you are leading and guiding us by your Spirit. Father, I pray for every person who joined in to listen to our podcast, Lord God. May they be filled with your love and your joy, Lord God. Give them a spirit of wisdom and the revelation of you, Lord God. I pray for everything that we'll discuss during this podcast, Lord God, and that all may be well with the listeners. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
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 So we are just going to chop it up with the host today. No special guests. We're going to try and plan for something by the end of the year to maybe do like a recap with all of our guests. So that should be fun on a Zoom call. But we really wanted today to just talk about this 2020. 2020 has been a lot, right? And so we're going to just dig in on where we are with all of that is happening in 2020 and continues to happen because it's not over yet. And so for those of us who are still making it through 2020 and looking for the trailer for 2021, We just gonna chop it up a little bit and see what the Lord shakes out on today. Y'all, where we want to start? Where we want to start, y'all?
Well, we can, I mean, like we were talking about a minute ago, we can talk about exactly, like for real, that we have as a society has really got to a place where we really haven't been interacting as we should have prior to the pandemic. We, I guess, take for granted social involvement with our families and friends. And, you know, a lot of times that, and I just have to say it for myself that, you know, I have got to a place sometimes where I'm like this as well, you know, and, you know, you could be in the midst of people and, you know, a long time ago, it wouldn't be like that. And one, because phones wasn't around, it's neither really was social media, but at the same time, people knew, you know, what communication looked like for real, you know?
Right, right.
But this pandemic has really taught us, you know, how much we take for granted when it comes to other people and human interaction.
Absolutely.
You know, because it's definitely a human interaction is definitely a needed thing. I mean, the body of Christ is modeled in a way that, you know, as Paul displays for us as in Corinthians, that, you know, that the hand is not anything without the hearing, you know, and the foot is not anything without the feet, you know. So, I mean, the legs. Well, you know, we all definitely need each other. But, you know, a lot of people are experiencing isolation. At one time, it might have been, you know, just their own, you know, desire to be alone sometimes, but now that isolation ain't always good for everybody because everybody can't hold isolation. And some people experience, you know, mental breakdowns during isolation. You know, that's one of the reasons why in the prison system that they are mandated a certain length of time that a person can be isolated. So, you know, it's definitely a trying time for people on top of, you know, job losses and family loss and so many other things, you know?
Yeah.
My thoughts about that is, you know, I live alone, but when the pandemic hit, my mom finally decided to move in with me after me asking her for 5 years. And this is the first time that I have been with my mom or we've been together for what, 7 months every single day? And it's wonderful. It's a wonderful experience. And but it's different. So I'm not totally alone. But I think she enjoys the times when she has the house to herself. I had not driven around the Beltway. In 7 months, I did not drive around. Can you imagine? Seven months I've just been in this area.
Yeah.
This local area. And, but I ventured out and it was okay, you know, but I do have my mom and I do still serve at my local church and I serve virtually, of course, and it's, small group. So I do get a chance to interact with the different, women at my church, and people who are a part of the small group, but I rely a lot on virtual interactions now, And it's no border around it. It seems because it's like early in the morning, well, late at night, we still.
I was thinking about Curtis when you were talking about human interaction. My mother recently watched a story about two twins who were born premature, and one was faring better than the other in the NICU, which is of course neonatal intensive care unit. And one had like some significant heart issues. And so I can't remember if it was either the doctor or the nurse who said, why don't you put the two babies in the same crib, in the same little unit? And so the story starts off with a picture of the healthy twin putting his arm over the unhealthy twin. They were laying on their stomachs and he just put his arm around it. And they talked about how after that interaction and after they had been together for like a couple of days, the baby started doing much better. The vitals started getting better. And they were able after a few months to go home. And so we were built for relationship. We were built for relationship with each other. We were built for relationship with God. And it's just super important, especially in times like this, to maintain relationships, to strengthen relationships. And if we find that there are cracks or there are areas in our relationships that we need to fix or tighten up or, you know, seek counsel on, that we need to put in that work, because we were built for that kind of interaction and that kind of, you know, contact. Mm-hmm. And so it's important, especially now, even for, you know, sometimes for our health, that we are staying in healthy interaction with other people, because it helps us physically.
Absolutely.
That's good. That's good. I mean, it actually, for real, it's like I'm listening to you as you're talking about the interaction and how, you know, Novena talks about 7 months that her and her mother have been in the house together, since haven't been the number of completion. And you know, it's been a, you know, just not a, you've been not been alone. But you know, I just had like a little epiphany because we were doing an exercise prior, for those that's listening and watching, we were doing that little exercise prior to us coming on, and the exercise, we were actually adding, the age that we are this year and the year that we were born together. And it came up to 2020. Each one of us. And if you do it yourself, you can do it right now or you can do it later. Take the age that you are and add it by the year you were born. I'm gonna be 44 tomorrow, matter of fact. And woo-hoo! Thank you very much. And I was born in 1976 and it's 2020. But when I thought about that, the epiphany that I had was like, wow, Joy said that we are built for interaction, we were built for a community, we were built for these things. And then after I just thought about that, as we were doing the numbers, and every person that's on earth right now, if they equal their date of when they were born, the year they were born, and their age, it would be 2020, significant in the aspect of how really we are connected. You know, because that's what it kind of showed me, because if everybody on the earth right now, if you add your age and the year you were born together and it's 2020, then that just shows how significant it is for us to realize that we are connected. And what other way can we realize this but in a situation where you really lose the opportunity to interact freely without restraint? You know, I mean, and I sat back and I just like it kind of like this, like, wow, God, okay, so that's what you're saying for real. Like, right now is a time not just to connect with you, but also to realize that we need to be connected to each other in order to support each other. And the story about the twin, one was sick and one was whole, and the other one put his arm around it, is just the significance of, you know, just how Jesus comes and put his arms around us when we are sick and we need. And this, once we get into that incubated situation and he cares for us and love on us, then his love alone lets us realize that we belong here, that we belong connected, not just in my twin in attributes, but I'm twin in spirit, you know?
And, yeah.
And 2020, like two 20s put together, they're twins, you know? And I'm listening like, Lord, I see all this connection in this little piece right here. So, you know, it's just amazing how God can speak to us in different ways to get us to get the picture that he's trying to paint. And so many times we miss it because we look at the frame as opposed to the picture inside the frame, you know?
Content. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And as you were talking about 2020, I'm into vision boards, vision 2020, look at, see. Mm-hmm. So I have on the vision board, it's 2020, because I was looking forward to some wonderful things happening in 2020. And one is retirement. So I did retire at the beginning of this year, but on that vision board, I just write all kinds of things, you know, that I'm looking forward to accomplishing, looking forward to doing, and just seeing with 2020 vision, you know, focus. And that's what I want to stay focused on. I know there are many distractions going on now, but I just refuse to stay distracted. Whenever I get distracted or discouraged, I have to go back and focus. As soon as I close my bedroom door, I see the 2020. And I know a lot of things have happened this year, But I'm glad I did retire because I do have time now to focus on things that are really important, like focus on people as opposed to, I don't know how I did it when I was working and raising children. And so I totally understand how busy some people are, and they may not have time to join for small group because I still have small group every week, two groups. And so I take it into consideration that everybody's not going to join every time, but I do want to be that stable place, that safe place where the women can come and we can just talk. You know, I don't lay a lot of work on them, about a lot of Bible study because we are living epistles. You know, I want them to come into this safe space to feel love, you know, to feel, not be judged. Like, and some of them, they come, oh, I'm sorry, I can't make it because I got to do class with my children. No, that's your priority. You know, I'm here if you need that. Well, matter of fact, yeah, you can call me anytime, you know. But I just want to be the arms of Jesus as much as I can. I also know my capacity too, you know.
Amen. But, yeah. But one of the things, or two thoughts I had is, one, I was listening to this woman. She does, like, you know, blogging, and she's a believer. And she was saying how she remembers growing up and always saying how, like, she could have never been a slave. So she's glad that God, you know, put her in the time that she's in now. Mm-hmm. But of course, that has a very different context in this moment. Mm-hmm. And so she was also saying, but she thanks God that she has the grace to be in this moment, because even though he did not put her in the time of slavery and the struggles, yeah, that were in that time, there is another and current, yes, struggle that we're all in, but we've been graced for this moment. Grace. And so it is incumbent upon us to really stay connected so that we are operating in line with the heart of God in this season, because we've been graced for this. We've been graced to deal with it. We've been graced to go through it. We've been graced to have a voice in this moment. And so it's just important for us to be thankful that God said, they can handle it, mm-hmm, right? You can handle this moment, and I'm going to give you what you need to get through this moment. And so that is something to be thankful for, because God doesn't do anything, you know, as an afterthought. Like, we were purposed for this time. And the second thought I had was, I was listening to one of my favorite voices in this time, the author of The Shack, mm-hmm, William Paul Young. And he was talking about the importance of understanding identity, mm, and how sometimes we as, you know, I'm using like air quotes for like religious folks, we don't, mm, always appropriately lay out the truth, because when we look at the scripture about, you know, nothing was made that was made, and that every, you know, Jesus made everything, right? There's nothing here that wasn't made by and through Jesus, and that we are all created in the image of God. Mm-hmm. So if, when we're born, we were created by God, we're created to look like God. You know, we sing this, you know, cute song about he's got the whole world in his hands, right? But then we find ways to distance ourselves from other groups of people, mm-hmm, people with other belief systems, people with other habits and hobbies and, you know, whatever. We're like, oh, you're not created in the image of God. What you need is this. And then once you get this, then you'll be in Jesus. But they already are, right? Mm-hmm. And so what we need to present to people is and to dispel the lie is that you're already in him, right? You may not understand it or have come to the revelation, but you're already in him. He created you. You're already made in his image. And so anything that doesn't line up with that image, those are just the lies that have happened through living. Mm-hmm. And so instead of distancing ourselves from people based upon what they believe, how they believe, how they live in their life on a day-to-day basis, if we just open up the revelation of their identity and show them that they already are who God has created them to be, then the stuff that may be happening or the belief systems, the hobbies, any of those things will fall in line with the image that God has created in them. And I was just like, you know what? That's deep. That really this life is about freeing our minds so that our day-to-day walk looks like our identity. Because what we normally try and do is change what we do. But if we just focus on who we are, then when we focus on who we are, the other external stuff will line up automatically when we focus on the who we are and that identity piece. And I think in this time when so many systems have failed people and so many things that they thought were the answer to whatever they needed, that is just going to be super important as a place of revelation. Yeah.
No, that's good. That's good. It's good stuff because I believe that part of this whole pandemic actually was really one of the vehicles I believe that God was using. And I'm not, don't for nobody to take what I'm saying wrong, because I'm not saying that he was the author of anybody's family, you know, passing on or anything like that from this pandemic or nothing like that. I'm just saying to bring to truth is that the church has been operating by tradition and religion as opposed to relationship and encounters, you know. And I'm not saying the whole church either, you know. But for the most part, because of that, people who God is calling have not been able to have the encounter that they could have had because more people are putting on, like you said, the image of what the crowd wants you to look like, as opposed to what Jesus asked you to come as, you know? And it reminds me kind of like, so my wife preached, I think it was last Sunday before last. And before she started preaching, she played a clip from The Matrix. And the clip was when, that's hers too, you know? So when Nemo and Morpheus was there and they were talking and he told them, you could take this pill and stay in your reality, or you can take this pill and understand what you're seeing is not all real and come into the matrix, right? Come out the matrix. So basically it comes down to a point where, you know, it's like, okay, will I continue to live in this existence of a lie, you know? Or will I take the choice to take this other pill and see everything that the world really is and everything that God really is and everything I really am that can operate in it. And I think that's where God is really calling us at in this spot, because no better place for God to get our attention is in the place where we can't go nowhere. And I've learned that firsthand. I learned that firsthand.
Yes.
So, you know, when he gets your attention and he shows you that in all actuality, I'm trying to get you to put on new clothes, but you keep trying to wear old labels. Yeah. And I think that's where we're at, you know, and one of the things I think that I can say, and this is just a tool I'm gonna put out there so somebody can put it in their toolbox. One of the things that has been very important for me in this time is to be able to get still before God in the morning, and whatever your time of the day may be, and just ask God, what's next?
Yeah.
What's next?
Then sit still long enough to listen. One thing that that I'm hearing, or for me, because I'm on to this listening and growing thing, and in order to listen and to grow, you got to be still and be quiet. And so I ask God to help me, you know, to listen. And you know, throughout the people I've been talking with, you know, I've picked up things along the way. And even if I had written something on my vision board, and it was the acronym WAIT, and I had forgotten all about it. But even during this pandemic, a friend of mine had come to my house and she saw the vision board and her eyes immediately went there. on WAIT, the acronym WAIT. And I'm sure when I heard it, it was like, oh, that's a nugget. Let me write it down. But I forgot about it because it was right on my wall. And WAIT is an acronym for Why Am I Talking?
Uh-oh.
Hello. And for those of you who know me, I can just go. I can just go. But if I'm asking God to help me to be a better listener, because if I listen, I can help, you know, where people really need help, not where I think they need help, you know. So I ask him to help me become a better listener. Somebody who normally doesn't come into my home, especially during the pandemic, sees this acronym on my board, and she just points it out because it's little. It was really little. And I'm like, that's one of my answers right mm-hmm. there, right before my eyes that I did not see. And God brought it to the forefront. Why am I talking? So it's okay to have a little pause or a little break mm-hmm. in between the time I'm on air, or what is that, on air, inspiration, Holy Spirit. I mean, he just continually talks, you know, but I'll hear him even more so through people when I am learning to listen, as I'm learning to listen. So I appreciate this time to be quiet, to be still, to seek God, to hear from him. And he may be using different people, you know, but it's back to, if I abide in him and he abides in me, you know, I can ask what I will and this shall be given unto me, you know.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. So, and see, if I was talking to somebody else, so how's that working for you?
Hello.
right.
It seems to be working out pretty well for me right now, so I'm grateful, just very grateful.
That's good stuff. That's real good stuff. And also too, because my AKA name is Pastor Mike. And, you know, I really was a pastor, but it's but they call it Pastor Mike, not Pastor PASTORMIKE. No, they saying PASSMIC, Pastor Mike.
I hear you.
You know, but Lord knows, look, my mouth, man. Listen, sometimes I'm gonna be honest. I go to sleep and my lips look at each other and say, man, I'm glad he didn't put to sleep. Now we can rest.
Just for a second. Just for a minute.
I feel you. I understand, Rabbi Curtis. I understand.
Yeah. But I say, you know, just what you were saying too, Joy, when you was talking earlier, you know, it is important, you know, to Lord Jesus, don't mind me. I'm a year older than all tomorrow.
Oh, that's you gonna blame it on? You gonna blame it on that, huh?
That's what I'm gonna blame it on.
Lost your train of thought?
Yeah. I lost it. That thing walked right out there like that.
It might come back.
It may come back, but definitely we definitely at this moment in time really need to realize too. Oh, that's what it was. Okay, yeah. When you were saying, and that came really, it came around the corner.
Boom, came right back.
Boomerang throw him in the back of the head. Wow, here I go. All right, now y'all can see. See, this is how we be for real when we in person, right?
Hello.
But yeah, so the reality of it is that, you know, God does want us to get to a place where we're not concerned as much no more with what everybody else thinks about us.
Absolutely.
But just what he thinks.
Absolutely.
Not that we're going to live and try to gain his approval, because his approval has already been won on the cross. If you notice, even when Jesus was baptized before he did any work, after John had baptized him, the Spirit came down as a dove and rested upon him and said, and God said from heaven, this is my son in whom I'm well pleased, right? Yep. The approval was already there. Before you do any act in life, the approval is already there. So it's not about gaining the approval. It's just about realizing that you don't have to gain approval. Right. That's the whole key, that you don't have to gain approval. We so right. caught up in gaining approval of trying to impress this person or wanting this person to like me or make them mm-hmm. think that I'm holy or make them think that God ain't saying, look, none of that even matters. What really matters is that for real, that you live for an audience of one. Because if you get caught up, you ever been in that mode where you just like even in this time right here, like in this pandemic, right? Where I have been caught up so hard in my worship that I ain't care who was around me. I ain't care who heard me. Look, my wife, she don't care at all. You know, she sometimes sprints. She goes all, yeah, you know, like okay. But the thing about it is that because she's enjoying it, I'm enjoying it, we enjoying whoever, enjoying the encounter.
Yeah.
You know, and when you enjoy the encounter, it translates in the other areas of your life.
Mm-hmm.
Because you enjoying the encounter in other areas of your life. In other words, that you making sure that you and him are still doing the same dance y'all was doing when you were in the room by yourself. That's what he want us to be doing. That's how we impact the world.
Absolutely. And to be consistent about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I think anybody I encounter, if they really know me, they're going to get the same thing every time. And I want to be like that. I want to be that place where I am consistent.
Mm-hmm.
And by me being consistent, it sets boundaries, you know, for me, mm-hmm. as well as for other people. Some people don't come to me gossiping about anybody else. Don't come to me complaining. I'll be a place where you can vent for a minute, but you know, before you leave, that situation, that conversation is going to be turned around. So that consistency for me, that is what I love. And that's my another way to worship. You know, I worship God through my behavior. I worship God by believing I'm his ambassador. Because ultimately, when people see me, I want them to see God. I want them to see Jesus, you know, God in the flesh, in my flesh. Mm-hmm. You know, am I always like that? But I'm going to be consistent, you know, and when I miss it, I want to be just like Jesus. I want to be able to confess my fault, to ask for forgiveness, to walk in love, you know, not be judgmental. It's easy to say, but then when the real tests come, can I still be consistent?
Wow. Yeah. That's good. That's good.
Yeah. I was thinking also about just as the year is winding down and thinking about the importance of staying like in the moment, because you know people already are like, listen, 2020, we're done with you. Let's see what's going to happen in 2021. Like we're over 2020, and so I understand the desire and the need to want to kind of move past something, but it is also important to whatever lesson we are supposed to be learning in this moment, to learn that lesson so we don't have to repeat that lesson.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, you know, that's individually, that's, you know, in families and communities, as a nation, we want to make sure that we are like learning the lesson we're supposed to learn in this moment and not be so quick to try and get out of stuff. I know one of the jokes that another minister that I listen to says, you know, he always says, like, you know, when you get into trouble, you're like, I'm a Christian, get me out of here. Like, I shouldn't have to go through anything. Like, get me out, right? And so it is important that, you know, even as us believers, right, you know, it may not always feel good, but, you know, there is purpose in this time. And so it's important for us to get the purpose in this moment. And even in the middle of, you know, the storm, the struggle or whatever, to maintain like peace and to maintain joy, because all this stuff that's happening is outward stuff. Like this is all, you know, happening outside of ourselves. And we need to make sure that our heart condition maintains a steady beat, and that we, no matter what happens on the outside, no matter what happens outside of your front door, that we can be steady, mm-hmm. and that we can be, like you were saying, Novena, consistent, right? So that no matter what shows up, how it shows up, how long it stays when it does show up, that we can remain, like, you know, be steadfast, unmovable, you know, always abounding in the work of the Lord. You understand?
In the work of the
Lord. And I'm working on that. And I'm also working on definitely staying like in the moment and not trying to jump too many steps forward. Right. Like the grace and mercy you have is for today. Mm-hmm. Like stay here. Mm-hmm. Tomorrow will take care of itself. Stay here. Mm-hmm. And giving myself a break, because, you know, one of the other things that you find in this time is now everyone feels like you're supposed to be doing all this other stuff, because you may have a different amount of time than you had before. You may have more time available to you. So now you feel you have to fill it up with stuff. Mm-hmm. And that can be stressful in and of itself, is trying to fill it up. You know, people are like, oh, you should write a book. I'm like, I don't feel led to do that in this moment.
Perhaps you need to write the book.
Right? And so whatever the things are, just make sure that we are like being led, right? And not just being busy just to be busy. Because especially as Americans, that's something that we as a society struggle with, is busyness and stress. And definitely in this time, we want to make sure, you know, because, you know, stress can affect your health. And so you want to make sure that we are like maintaining like peace in our lives, so that we're not having to be tossed with, you know, stressful situations or putting too much on our plate or feeling like we have to go out and save the whole world right now because we have the time to do it. Yes. And it's just important to maintain that.
Critical.
Yeah, I agree. I definitely agree. Because like you said too, if you're not careful and you don't really, you know, get to that position where you really are identifying like, Lord, like what's next for me right now? Yeah. You know, I don't want to move from this place right now until you show me your glory. Like how Moses told God, he says, you know, what's the difference between us and any other people if you don't go before us, you know? So what's the difference between anything I put my hand to and somebody else doing the same thing in this time if you're not doing it with me?
Yeah, you
know?
Yeah.
So, you know, the reality of it is that I think one of the things, like you said, Novena, about being consistent, and that means consistent in what you know God has already said to you.
Absolutely.
Joy, what you also said too, is also learning the lesson that we were supposed to learn in this season, whatever that may be. But I think one more thing I can add to that too is also, you know, evaluating what lessons I haven't had an opportunity to learn when I should have learned them in this season too. Meaning that as an aspect of, because it's really, I'm saying kind of the same thing, but really in the aspect of saying, Lord, what did I miss? Because sometimes you can miss things and don't realize you missed it because you, like you said, filled your day up with so much thing and you haven't been consistent with just operating in that one spirit of area. And, you know, we have conversation with people and people are doing a lot of things and saying, you know, God is trying to press, you know, the extra oil out you, you know, and you can't let nobody else put some type of guilt on you for you not operating in the level that they feel as though they should be, they are operating in, because that might not be the time for you to soar at that height yet. Absolutely. You know, you really have to know the voice of God. And I go back to always saying that actually David, he could have actually forfeited what God had for him in an instant of listening to people that God had aligned with him. Because people sometimes they have good intentions, but they always don't know when to say what they're saying. You know, and sometimes just by zeal, there's nothing bad towards a person or anything. But when David was had the opportunity, when he saw was in the cave, and he had already told the men that were came out that were like him, that were on the run, that were outcast or whatever, that, you know, God, obviously he had a conversation with them at some time that God was going to avenge him. So one of the men of David, one of the mighty men of David says, surely this is what you said, that the Lord had delivered thy enemy into your hands. Now you can smite them. But it said that David's spirit smote him, that he did not put his hand towards Saul, God's anointing, right? That even after he had cut the robe and he had it, he said his spirit smote him when he realized that this is not what God wanted to do. Even though the opportunity presented itself and it looked like it should have been exactly because he would have been justified in our flesh. I said in my flesh, I'd have been justified because opportunity was there. But sometimes, you know, that's another thing I think that God is taking this time to say, I want you to really get to a place where you really know my voice.
Absolutely.
You know, because when we do open back up, things going to be, it's going to be a whirlwind when things do dissipate and things get back. Maybe this might be the new normal for some time, but let's just talk about that. When the day comes where things do turn right back to what we saw, people going to forget about this era that we've been in. And all of a sudden it's going to be a rush to get back to where everybody were, because people won't get themselves in a great big hurry to catch up with what they lost or what they think they lost. And God wants us to be in a place where we really know his voice at that time, so we don't be those moved by what's going on as well. Because just because things turn around, we can also be moved by that as well when it's look like it's being in our favor, when it can actually be our detriment.
Absolutely. Don't be fooled by the good weather. Mm-hmm. And start visiting and getting up close, you know, too soon. Mm-hmm. That's why, like you said, a lesson. Sit in it for a moment. Learn the lessons. What have we learned these 7-8 months of being in a pandemic?
Yeah. Or
quarantine. What have we truly learned? And that's a lot. We talk about a lot of that in a small group. You know, how do we envision ourselves emerging out of this pandemic? And one thing that that I've been listening to or running my life by is know my why. You know, why am I doing this? Why? Like just why am I talking? But always know your why. And even as you were talking, Reverend Curtis, many people come and talk to me about just different things. Like, it's so hard. It's so hard. And I believe it is hard. But then I have to remember that if you truly believe God has called you to do this thing, you know, who am I to tell you you're running too hard or you're doing it this way? I'm going to listen. That's why I ask God to help me to listen. Because I know people, some of them I know they're on task with what God has called them to do, because years before this pandemic hit, they had all these visions and desires to do things this way. I didn't have a clue what they were talking about, but I was in agreement with them because they were so adamant about what God had called them to do. So that when all this pandemonium came about, these people were in position. But that's when it was like they had to hit the ground running, because these dreams that they were talking about, they were coming to pass, and they're living in it. They're sitting in it now, and it's hard. But then I have to remember what my gift is, you know, because I honestly believe our gifts will make room for us.
Absolutely.
And I know how it feels to be young and having to do all of these different things, because I somehow had to do it. It may not have been in this season, but I had a season where I was trying to jumble everything, where I lost everything, where I had to regain everything, where I had to have the faith to just to wake up in the morning, to go to work. So I remember that. I'm not sitting in that space now, but I'm in a place where I can pray for them and encourage them. So you got to know your gift. You got to know your purpose. And if those who know me, if you come at me discouraged, I'll listen. But before we get off that phone, before you walk away, you're going to take courage. My goal is for you to remember, you know, how God has brought you through those other things.
Right.
You know, how much you have grown, because he's not done with you yet. You know, so just like another person's gift will make room for them, my gift makes room for me. And I have to know why I'm sitting on the phone talking or listening all this time. I have to know what's at the end of that, you know, and it's to glorify God.
You know? Amen.
But know your why. Know your why.
Amen. I say amen, 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 amen.
Amen.
Yes. I've also, just like you, I've seen some things unfold for some people. It wouldn't have happened if the pandemic, the way it happened, wouldn't have happened. If the pandemic had affected the economy and so many other issues, because it opened up those doors that, but I truly believe that God isn't finished. For those of us that are still waiting in expectation of things, I truly believe that God isn't finished.
No.
One of the things I had preached not too long ago myself, one of the words that I had preached, or the word, last word that I preached was, that he had shared with me that in 2019, he was preparing us. Because if you remember, like most of the words that you would hear spoke about faith, right? Mm-hmm. Now faith is.
Now faith is.
You know, and we didn't really, you know, at the time he knew what was coming, but we didn't know. And he was telling me that whole 2019, he was actually fortifying our faith. He was shoring up, you know, whatever was weak in our faith. Because 2020 is the year of activation, that you really had to activate your faith. Like, you know, you really had to activate your faith. But he said, I'm not done, you know, because when I gave you the time of preparation, and now you're activating your faith in face of opposition, because faith is not tested when there's no test.
Come on now. Come on.
So the last thing is that he also shared with me this, is that he had also give us the opportunity to show, see what we had looked over, neglected, and not took an account, so we could be like a tree planted by the rivers
Come
of water,
on, man.
That we may bring forth our fruit in its in his season. Because had we not had things highlighted for us, we would have missed being planted where we needed to be planted at, so we could bear the fruit in his season. And the last thing he was saying after the preparation, the activation, then he says, then I show up with the demonstration. You know, I'm going to show up with the demonstration. And I believe that. And he reminded, I'm going to give you a prime example. So I'm sitting there yesterday in the midst of this time of being in the house, and Lord, why this ain't happening yet? Why this ain't going on? Why this ain't doing it? And you know, I can be transparent and tell you I complain to God sometimes. You know what I'm saying?
He can take it.
Yes.
You know? He can take it. Yeah. He already know us. Right. He know his so children. Like,
why fake? Yeah. Don't fake for Jesus.
Nah, you know what I'm
Keep
saying?
Keep it 100.
Yeah, because yeah, I want people to know that y'all ain't the only one out there to do it. You know, people, so listen, I'm like, yeah, what? So I get a phone call as I'm doing it though. I get a phone call, and it comes from the prison. So one of the brothers called me, and he's a minister there, elders there. I said, how you doing, man? He said, man, just one of them days, man. One of them days you're tired of where you're at, tired of the environment, and you're tired of, just waiting on God, and you're tired of, you know, just all the nonsense around you, right? You just get tired, man. And it was like God said, wow. Like, not a bad whap, don't get me wrong, but he was like saying to me, he said, forget all the titles, he said, CJ, where you at now? He said, would you have rather me leave you right here where he's talking about, right? And be complaining the same way, or you rather be feeling like you feel right now where you're at? And why are you feeling that way? And I said, God, I'm sorry. I told the brother, I said, look here. I said, man, I feel like I owe you an apology and God. You know what I'm saying? Because, listen, life is good for me, right?
Right.
I'm going somewhere with this, right? Life is good for me. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So then he reminded me, he said, I gave you a timeline of when I'm going to do, of how I'm going to do stuff. So it ain't even in the timeline yet, right? But I'm going somewhere, and this is what I'm saying, right? The reason why I even brought this up is because we do got to remember it differently. We do got to look at it differently, right? Somebody said it, I think it was you, Joy, or even one of y'all, I know, said it earlier. You got to look at it from a different perspective.
From his perspective.
What did you get from this?
Come on, the lessons learned.
And then if you can't see what you got from it, then already discount your blessings in the midst of it.
In the midst. Come on.
Because sometimes we be looking for the light at the end of the tunnel, but God say the light is already in the tunnel. You be the light.
Honey,
the light
shine.
In the tunnel. Be the light in the tunnel. Give somebody a hope right there in the middle of where you at right now, because like somebody just said, you already been through a whole lot and you already stronger than you ever believed.
Come on now.
You know, you already done a lot of stuff and you standing on a solid rock. Somebody say a solid rock. Look, I ain't
solid rock. But, hello?
But we are on a solid rock, you know, and we haven't been moved. We haven't been shaken to the point where we have just felt as though life can't go on. Right? So I say, even in the midst of a pandemic, still find your source of joy.
Amen. God has proven himself to me, because people wonder, you know, how, I know, but you don't understand. So then as soon as I hear that, well, you don't understand, that's when I got to get personal. Because don't let the smile and the bright eyes fool you, you know? Mm-hmm. It's not all makeup, you know? These, and I do have scars, you know? But like you say, how you remember it. Mm-hmm. Makes all the difference. When we are in a battle every single day, whether it's a physical battle or a health, or but definitely right here, a mental battle every single day. And what I've learned is I have the power to choose. You know, I have the power to choose my next step. But first I got to recognize there's a battle going on, and it's not with flesh and blood. And I get to choose where I expend my energy. You know, and everybody doesn't deserve my energy. Mm-hmm. And I get to choose.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, and the example for me was God allows people to choose him. So who am I to try to tell somebody what to do? When I was raising my children, I did my very best to teach them how to make wise decisions. Don't come to me and ask me frivolous things. By the time it gets back to me, I'm gonna, what did God say? You know, I take them to the word. Mm-hmm. You know, but my, I'm saying all this because at the end of the day, responsibility for my path taken is up to me. Everybody may have an opinion, but everybody done had a responsibility to walk it out. So that helps me a lot to, I share things. You know, I can share, you know, my battle scars and what I've been through, and to show you that I believe now faith is, you know, and I can put my own self in that Hebrews 11, mm-hmm, hall of faith, because I was there and I know what I did not do. It was only the grace of God. Mm-hmm. And it was something you were saying earlier about alignment, you know, focus on the love, focus on, don't focus on, well, I have to behave a certain way. Mm-mm. God told us to guard our heart. Mm-hmm, he told us mm-hmm. to love. I remember once I said, God, you know, you got to guard my heart. And he said, no, baby, you got to guard your heart. Mm-hmm. You. And I was like, how do I guard my heart? Back to listening to the voice of God. And there he showed me boundaries.
Yeah.
You know, why give somebody a place to make a decision for my life? You know, that people are entitled to have their own opinions, but at the end of the day, I have the power to choose. And I want to choose what's going to please God. You know, everybody might not agree with it. I don't care about the likes and I try hard not to get caught up in that. When I know why I'm doing what I'm doing, there's nothing anybody can say. Not unless they're offering some words of wisdom, but at the end of the day, it's my decision, you know? And the same is true flip-flop. You know, I can offer an opinion to someone, but don't get offended if they don't do what I think they should do. Can I still love them?
Mm-hmm.
You know, with the love of Christ, when they don't do what I think they need to do.
Amen.
Yeah. Switching gears just a little bit. So we've talked about how we're faring, you know, amid the pandemic and our responses and how we're moving through it. But there is this social justice component that is also very interestingly paralleling this time. And it's not only happening here in America, but there is this movement about social justice happening across the nations. And I would be remiss if I did not bring up that what is important, and I don't spend too much time watching the news, or because I can't do it, it's just too negative. And, you know, either I want to pull my soapbox out and I start railing, or I'm like in a ball of tears. Like I go from one extreme to the other. So I got to limit myself.
Absolutely.
But one of the things that I want people to understand about this time, especially us as brown people in America, is that more than anything, even if it is not appropriately expressed, I think that overarching is the desire for our pain to be understood and to be heard and to be acknowledged. You know that they say that, you know, you can't heal from something you don't acknowledge. And so it is important that for, you know, brown and black people across the world, that there has been generational pain that has not been acknowledged and addressed, and that as people not only, of course, are losing their lives through the health pandemic, but losing their lives, you know, due to violence that's sometimes perpetrated by people who are in law enforcement, that we just want to be heard and seen and loved as a human being. I think that, you know, how can we say, you know, like, you know, the scripture says, you know, they will know that we are Christians by our love, right?
Yes.
And so the God is like, but if you don't love your brother, then you don't know me. Like if you say you love me, but then don't love your brother, then you don't know me. And so we want to not only extend grace to other people, and grace even to other people who don't understand or don't acknowledge, or wherever you happen to be on the spectrum, that we stand in love. And we just want people to know, even from just us in this moment, that they are heard, they are acknowledged, they are seen, they are loved. And I am hopeful that this generates conversations in homes and heart conditions, that people are checking their heart conditions on matters. And I know even for myself, like I haven't done it yet, but there are like a couple of people like in my agency that I'm going to have like a sidebar with, like, let's just chat. Because even if we are on, we have differing opinions about things, you just want to know that I am a human being, you are a human being, and we are both equally as valuable. And that we can see each other the way God sees us and the way he's created us to be, because to be seen as less than human and less valuable than others is hurtful. Mm-hmm. Right? And you know, in some cases can be dangerous, right? And so it's just important that we like acknowledge that as well, like that is also happening in this moment.
I agree. Definitely. I think so. It's a sad state when you address an issue and people feel as though, well, that wasn't us. We didn't do that, right? But the reality of it is that we wouldn't feel the way we do, and we wouldn't see the same things happening if it still wasn't being taking place in this day and time. Racism has not changed the way it might have changed the mask it wears or how it comes, but it's still very prevalent in a lot of different places, and not to acknowledge, you know, a history of suffering the way that our people have suffered for so long, to basically to the point where it has also affected our mental, you know, thought patterns at times when it comes to society as a whole. You know, it's a sad state where when you get a law abiding black male, and you ride down the street with no record, or you run down the street in a neighborhood that you can pay for a house yourself, and you get shot when you're just jogging through a neighborhood, right? Based off your complexion or what you look like, or I could go to the store and buy a pack of Skittles, and because I have a hood on, and then I'm identified by somebody that chooses to walk and follow me and confront me, but yet at the same time, I never did anything for you to confront me, you know, and I lose my life. Sad state of affairs where I could be in my own apartment and die, you know. These are the things that we see, and the sad thing about it is the reason why we're seeing it is because cell phones are so prevalent, and so is the camera to be able to take it in them instances, but you can't even imagine how many times that has never been recorded, that has happened, and no one ever heard about it. Mm-hmm. And when you have teenage kids hung in trees and it's speculated to be suicide, but yet it ain't suicide because of the way it's done, you know? And then not to address what's right there. You know, I think for the most part, I believe as a man of faith that I believe that God is pulling the wool back, mm-hmm. and he's exposing what is and what's going on and how it's happening. And I don't believe that it's going to be wiped away overnight. But what I do believe is that a shift is coming. I believe that a change is coming. I believe that if people stay the course, if we continue to, you know, hold up the banner and not let it die, not sweep it under the rug for reparation, you know what I'm saying? You know, I think California is supposed to sign a bill or something for reparation.
Right, right.
You know, I think that's just a Band-Aid on a larger, you know, infection. You know what I'm saying? The truth of the matter is that's not going to change nothing. You know, people get a couple of $100,000 or whatever you're giving, right? People get that. That's not going to change anything. What has to change is people's mindsets. What has to change is people in authority. What has to change is the way we allow people not to be held by the same standard of the law that they supposedly uphold. I think these things have to change in order for us to see a nation really be healed.
Yeah. And also for us, the same thing when we talked about like focus and what we're supposed to be doing, like everybody has a part.
We all do.
And so be led to find out what your part is. I do believe that there are many ways in which we can be of use. And so whatever you feel led to, or however you're being, you know, the lean that you have, the passion that you have for, you know, addressing this social injustice, go for it, right? Like just, because the goal isn't, because listen, you know, as quiet as it's kept, like this thing system wasn't built to last. The way the world is operating now is not built to last. Mm-hmm. And even bringing up this issue, it's not to talk about like what separates us, but we have to, because, you know, we all know who the author of division is, mm-hmm. right? And so even in the midst of what we are rightly feeling, we have to understand that we can't be divided. Right. Even when people don't understand and when they have very different views from us, mm-hmm. like they are being deceived like anybody else is, right? Like there is a deception that is happening and we need to combat against that deception that's in the earth, right? Absolutely. Because look here, Like, the devil is real. It's not a game. Mm-hmm. And we need to stay on the wall like mm-hmm. he stays on the wall. Like, you know, he doesn't ever let up or take his guard down. And so we need to stay vigilant as well. Mm-hmm. And tearing down principalities and strongholds, right? Mm-hmm. Because, and I've given this example before about how I have literally over a city felt like the demonic presence, right? Mm-hmm. And so we have the opportunity to set up and release the Spirit of God over over like cities and places. And we don't have to be in the city that we're releasing the Spirit over, right? Mm-hmm. Because just like Jesus, we're speaking. We can speak a word and it can go and do what it is supposed to do. So absolutely. We have to really, especially in this time where especially. You may not be able to go out and stand on a street and whatever, we need to be able to have the faith, like mm-hmm. we were talking about early, to speak a word and for it to accomplish that which it was set forth to do, right?
Absolutely.
Because all life is important.
Right.
So just like we don't want to see, you know, black and brown bodies in the street, we don't want to see police officers being gunned down in the street. No. Like, mm-mm. we don't want, you know, murder or violence of any kind for anybody, mm-hmm. right? And so it is important that we are speaking against the spirit that is in operation, because it's clear. Like, that mm-hmm. spirit is very,
very clear. And we are.
And we just need to do our part until he returns.
Absolutely.
And I believe that what God does is he puts passions in us. So if you are feeling a passion about something or you want to get involved in something, mm-hmm. absolutely do it. Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, we don't throw our hands up and say, well, we're not going to be involved in anything because God's going to come tear this all down anyway. We don't do that.
No,
we don't do that.
Yeah.
You know, I'm still going to go to the polls and do my, you know, my civic duty.
Absolutely.
Right. I don't say, well, I'm not going to pay taxes because Jesus is coming back. You know what I mean?
Render unto Caesar.
Listen, okay. You know, I'm not out here living a lawless life. but just be mindful that we do have authority and dominion in the earth.
Absolutely.
We can change stuff just mm-hmm. by saying so, just by praying over a thing and interceding over a thing.
Absolutely.
And we need to exercise that more, right?
Absolutely.
I feel like we have kind of got into this, like, you know, the Christian walk looks like this. You know, you go to church and you join two or three service ministries and you tithe and you baptize your babies and you get married in churches, but it's much bigger than that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, our walk is much bigger than that. And we need to exercise all that God has given us on a much greater scale.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
And just like we do see all of this stuff happening around us in the natural, it takes me right back to the word. It says we aren't wrestling with flesh and blood.
Mm-hmm.
And so we, and every name can be placed under the blood of Jesus. And we have to know the weapons that we're fighting with, and not weapons like this world. You know, we can bring stuff down through prayer.
Absolutely. Yeah,
through speaking absolutely. Life, through demonstrating by our character, mm-hmm. you know, and not being afraid. I know fear sometimes tries to overtake me, you know, but what has to rise up? That word, you know, God has not given me a spirit of fear. Where is this coming from?
Right, right. You
know, but he did give me a spirit of love and power and a sound mind. And I choose to think on the things of God. I choose to behave like God is my father, that he is my provider. And I have to speak it out loud and believe that it's accomplishing, you know, what God said it would accomplish. This is not the first time that I felt fear. This may not be the first time that I felt somebody's trying to intimidate me. That's mm-hmm. why you better know who you are, your identity. You better know whose you are. And you got to stand. Like, stand your ground. You better stand.
Absolutely.
Having done all, stand.
Definitely.
Absolutely. So we are coming towards the closing of this time together on our first Zoom call. And I feel like we were pretty successful.
I think so.
You know what I'm saying? I feel like we're pretty successful.
Hey.
So, do you all have any final thoughts before we wrap it up?
I'm just gonna say, for the most part, during this time, though it may be trying, understand that it's really just a trying of your faith. Apply what you know, the tool that you've already been given, and watch God do the rest. All he's asking, as we said earlier, is just be consistent and just know that God has a place for you and he's working things out for your good. You have to look at it differently. And as you begin to look at it differently, you're going to see the blessings that God got for you and in store for you and what he's already done for you.
That's great. That Amen. Is absolutely. And my thing is, let me encourage you all to take a word, you know, pay attention to what God is saying to you as an individual. I know for me through this season, it's growth. And even whatever it is that he's telling you to do, be mindful and do it to the best of your ability. Sometimes I get a little discouraged, you know, because I see all this stuff and day by day by day. But one thing that I do to remind me is put visuals around me. I do a lot of celery juice. And I kid you not, I take the remains, what remains from cutting off the meat of the celery, and I put it in water. And ultimately, every day I see a little bit more growth, you know, a little bit more growth. So a celery stalk that I plant, ultimately I put it in some soil and fertilizer. But ultimately, what looked flat and not growing, you know, you look back 2 months, this thing has been in soil and been watered and getting sun. Just like sometimes I'm in dirt. I get some water and some sun and I'm growing. So I see this thing that is doing the same thing. It's being nurtured and it's growing. So that's been my word. And that's what's been giving me hope. But I'm sure God is telling each one of you, you know, what to do during this season. And I just encourage you to do what you hear him saying to do.
Amen. So we just thank y'all for spending time with us. This has been another successful, bold and beautiful.
Oh, and beautiful. You don't know.
But you know what? You know what? I want to follow up on some of those people that have been joining us over the years that we've been coming together. You know, just like we're growing, they're growing too.
Yeah, families.
You'll be hearing more. You'll be hearing more from those folks. So we plan to get back together and hopefully have some of our past guests and do some follow-up shows. That should be fun. So we thank you all for spending time with us. You can, of course, follow us on Facebook at Bold and Beautiful WCS, and then on Instagram at Bold and Beautiful BoldNBeautiful WCS. So you can follow us on Instagram and Facebook. That's where we are most active. And we'll have links in the bios and all that information where you can contact us and reach out to us. And we look forward to engaging with y'all. So we love y'all and we'll see y'all soon. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Ramon.
Yeah.
You know? All right,
ma'am. Bye. Bye.
Thanks for tuning in to our broadcast. We look forward to introducing young talent and sharing exciting stories with our listeners around the world. So if you have a gift, talent, story, or information to share with us, spoken word, poetry, book, or song to share, if you're an entrepreneur or musician, please contact us at bnbwcstr2016@gmail.com. or on any of our social media platforms, Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram.